Book of Job in chapter 23. I want to take a text from verse number 12. Job 23 and verse number 12. There the Bible says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Earlier I had spoken on, this last week I had spoken on, "Have you lost God?" And Job, of course, earlier spoke as though that he wished he could come before God. He wished he could present his arguments to God, present his case before God. Sometimes a person may rebelliously turn away from God. Sometimes a person may wander away from God, carelessly wander away from God. And sometimes a person may be deliberately led away from God by someone that's teaching some false doctrine. But I believe that most people are away from God. Most people live their lives away from God. And in fact, many that profess to be saved by the grace of God live so much of their lives not in the close fellowship with God, but away from God. In the song we just had, think about a person, and this is so much like Job, think about a person longing for that presence of God, that discernible presence of God with him. Notice, if you will, in verse number 3 of Job chapter number 23, Job said, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat." Then, if you will, look in back in verse number 10, the Bible says, verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." In Job's case, we might say that God had hidden himself from him. Sometimes we might be in a state like that. We may call it, spiritually speaking, a winter time. But sometimes it may seem as though that God has hidden his face from us, that we're not having that close relationship with him that we desire to have. A person may even be right with God, but still feel like, he's not really close to God as he ought to be close to God. Of course, this time where God is silent, in the case of Job, there's so much speaking going on, but we don't find God speaking till later on, speaking to men. But finally, God spoke to men after a time of silence. And that time of silence for the believer can be a time of refining. In fact, in that verse number 10, the Bible says, "When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." In a time of silence where God, it seems like God is not speaking to you, though you're right with God, God is not speaking to you at the time, and you don't feel close to God like you want to feel close to God, that can be a time of refining, proving you, and purifying you. Job, of course, was a man that was an outstanding man, and yet there were some, he was not a perfectly perfect man as Jesus Christ. And so even he needed some refining, and I believe that was a time of refining for Job when God was silent in the midst of all this trouble that he was having. You and I may sometimes go through a time where it seems as though there's a real silence. It may seem as though that the heavens are brass and our prayers are not getting through, when actually they are. But God may see fit for some reason to withhold, helping us to discern His presence and allow us to go through that time so that we can be refined. There's some interesting words concerning how God dealt with Hezekiah. The ambassadors of Babylon had come, and the Bible tells us in 2 Chronicles 32 and verse number 31, God left him to try him, that he might know all that was in his heart. God left him to try him. Now sometimes God may give you what you need so that you can live victoriously, and then it may seem as though that God just simply leaves you to follow the instructions that you've already been given. It might seem as though that you don't really feel any special empowerment for the occasion, but God has given you, God has supplied you what you need, and so you are to be obedient unto the Lord. It's kind of like a teacher that's taught and taught and have personal relationships with students, and then finally comes to a point where the teacher passes out the test and she no longer is speaking with the students. Finally, it's come to that point where now they've got their test. Now they're silently take their test, not communicating with the teacher, just simply take that test based on what they have already been given. In the case of Hezekiah, God left him that he might try him. And sometimes you and I may go through situations such as that. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 11. The Bible says, "My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined." In Job 2 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Job's wife said to him, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die." Look, if you will, in chapter number 27. Chapter 27, beginning with verse number 3. There the Bible says, "All the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak to wickedness, or speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me." Now, Job put a lot of stock in integrity, I believe. The word integrity, we might think of wholeness, entireness, oneness, and therefore it can be used to describe purity. The integrity of life depends on the integrity of the eye. Matthew 6:22, "The light of the body is the eye. Therefore thine eye shall be single. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." And the integrity of the mind, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And the integrity of the heart. Psalm 119 and verse number 34, "Give understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart." The words integrity and faithfulness and purity and duty, those are all words that we might say are related. And we might think about a oneness, a one-mindedness, having a single eye. And a person that's got a single heart, a whole heart given to God. A person with integrity. And I believe that Job put a lot of stock in his integrity. He was living for God. And even though he was so falsely accused by friends, he did not back down. But instead he held fast to his integrity. Notice, if you will, beginning with verse number this chapter 23, once again, verse number 12. "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." Of course, he needed the Word of God so that he could live in integrity. In some writing from another writer from years ago came these words, "Job has been following God's commandments. We cannot follow God's way without the aid of light from heaven." And God gave His guidance to Job. Job followed the guidance of God. Therefore, Job had an established integrity. Now, of course, we may speak about conscience and the law written in the hearts of men. But, of course, conscience can be defiled and the conscience can be seared. But we can trust the written Word of God. We can follow the Word of God. We should exalt, we should esteem the Word of God highly. In fact, above everything, even above our necessary food. Notice, if you will, verses 13 and 14. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Now notice, he recognizes the sovereignty of God and also the power of God. God can do what he will. God does what he will. Who can stop God? No one can stop God from doing what he will. And God had been working. God had been allowing things in Job's life, some very hard things in Job's life. Then notice, if you will, beginning with verse number 15. Therefore, am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. He wasn't cut off before the darkness came. And, of course, he was not that his face was covered, so he didn't see the darkness, but instead he had experienced this terrible time of darkness, this time of the captivity of Satan. Now, I want you to consider this thought, the Bible above bread. The Bible above bread. In Job chapter number 23, verse number 12, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan. He was challenged to provide a proof that he truly was the Son of God. He was tempted to turn the stones into bread. The Bible tells us that Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's in Matthew 4 and verse number 4. In Luke chapter number 4, verse number 4, very similar words, Jesus said, "It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Now, I want you to notice that the Bible said, Jesus said, "It is written." Both of those passages, both of those verses, the Bible says, "It is written." Well, where is it written? Look, if you will, in Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And notice verse number 3. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3, the Bible says this, "And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth he live." Now let me give you some context to that situation. Of course, the Bible tells us about the people of Israel leaving Egypt. The Red Sea was divided, and they went through. Then it was 2 months and 15 days after they left Egypt that they came into the wilderness of Sin, and the people murmured to God about the lack of bread, and God gave them manna. It was a bread that they did not know, and their fathers did not know. This is not something common to them. This is something unusual. In fact, the very idea of manna, what is it? And it's angel's food. God has sent bread down from heaven. And so, this is such an unusual situation. God had led them out into a wilderness where they had no way of providing for themselves. They complained about a lack of food, and God provided. Exodus chapter number 16, God provided bread from heaven. 2 months, 15 days after they left Egypt. Then the Bible tells about the fact that the people traveled to another place, and there was no water for the people to drink. God had Moses to strike a rock, and of course the water came forth from the rock. Water that men did not bring forth, it was by the power of God that the water came forth from the depths. And then, 3 months after they left Egypt. Now remember, God gave them manna. They complained the second month, the 15th day. 3 months after they left Egypt. So 15 days, a short period of time. 15 days later, they came to the wilderness of Sinai at this desert place. And at Mount Sinai, God gave the Word of God, the law, to Moses. So I think it is interesting. Here the Bible says in verse number 3, He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. So, He brought them out to that wilderness place. He miraculously provided them bread from heaven. But He did it to teach them a lesson. The lesson that He taught them was, man doth not live by bread only. The Bible says that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The very next verse says, thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years. So think about during that relatively short time period, God, number one, providing bread from heaven. At His commandment, at His word, bread came from heaven. At His word, water came from the depths. At His word, their clothing was preserved so that it did not wear out for 40 years. Bread and water and clothing. That's basics of life, isn't it? He was teaching those people, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word of God, by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Now, the closeness of those things to God giving the Word of God from Mount Sinai, I believe was so that this would be so indelibly marked upon their hearts and minds that the Word of God is preeminent over a need for bread, over a need for water, over a need for raiment. The Word of God is to be esteemed higher than any other thing that we might think we need in this life. I want you to consider a few things. First of all, the life of a man is more than his physical life. That may seem somewhat obvious to those of us that are here, but the life of a man is more than his physical life. But most people, either they ignore the fact, and those, even those that know the fact that life is more than their physical life so often, and even those that profess Christianity sometimes, we act as though this life is all there is. And we may live in such a way, and we may desire things, and we may strive for things, we may order our lives in such a way that it reflects the philosophy that we have that this life is what I'm living for. It's not the life to come, it's this life that I'm living for. Now, the Lord, of course, gave His Word, His law. The Apostle Paul spoke of the law. And I know we may think about, thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt not do this, and thou shalt do this. The Apostle Paul said the law was good, it was holy, it was spiritual. And so God gave the people, even there at Mount Sinai, God gave the people something spiritual when He gave them the law, the Mosaic law. Now, So many people don't recognize by the way they live that there's more to life than just this life. There's more to life than just your physical life. What about spiritual life? I think that sometimes when a person first gets saved, their eyes are suddenly open to the fact that there's so much more to life than just what I was living for and the way I was thinking before I got saved. But sometimes when people have been saved for a while, they may slide back, backslide to the point where they're back to this idea of this life is what I'm living for, the things of this life. I'm working to get the things of this life. I'm working to achieve things in this life. Jesus Christ, John chapter number 6, fed about 5,000 men and perhaps thousands of others with women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus and His disciples went to the other side. They didn't go to the other side together, but they went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And people went looking for Jesus Christ and came over to where He was. The Bible says in John chapter number 6 and verses 26 and 27, Jesus answered them and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled." Now, that is a divine discernment. I think if I had seen the people come, I might have thought that there was a mixture of reasons why the people came, and I might have thought that part of the reason why people came was because of the miracles that had been done. They were so impressed, they wanted to see more miracles. But with divine discernment, Jesus Christ revealed the fact they did not come because of miracles, but they came because they had been fed, because of the loaves that they had received. The Bible says, and Jesus continued, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed." And Jesus Christ, in John chapter number 6, presented Himself as the bread of life. And of course, it was a spiritual bread. The bread of life. John 6, verses 34 and 35. "Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." And then John 6, 58. "He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." And that John 6, Jesus presented Himself as the bread of life, and the Jews, they opposed Him. Of course, it's a long chapter, but it goes on and on where the Jews opposed Him, and Jesus would speak about Himself, and then finally, the Bible tells us that disciples turned away from following Him. In fact, the Bible says, John 6 and verse number 66, "From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him." Many. And by the way, it doesn't just say followers, but many of the disciples. And with the word disciples, we might think about people that were learning from Jesus, and perhaps they were reflecting things that they were learning by the ways that they were living. But there came this point where the Lord presented the spiritual side of things. He had provided a physical need by multiplying the bread and the loaves, and the people followed Him for that. But then when He emphasized the spiritual, that He was the bread of life, many disciples turned away from Him and followed Him no more. Most people really do not accept this idea that this life is not all there is. At least the way most people live is this is all there is. Even those that profess Christianity. So often people live as though this is all there is. What I can get, what I can do, what I can become, this is it, this life. When Jesus presented the spiritual side of things, many of His disciples turned away. Then secondly, consider the spiritual life of man is more important than the physical life of man. We had out on the sign, and it may still be on the sign, even though the sign's down, that the spiritual health of a man is more important than his physical health. And in our day, in recent days, there's been so much of an emphasis on physical health and physical health. Wear those masks and all this social distancing and all this other stuff. And so many people are so concerned about physical health. I stopped in. These restaurants are closed, but there was a place that had a grill out in the area of a gas station. And I went to pick something up there. And woman out there, here it is, outside, and the smoke of the grill blowing around, so on, and she's got this mask on, and I imagine she was hot in the thing, uncomfortable in the thing, but she had her mask on. People have been so concerned about their physical health. There have been multitudes concerned about their physical health while they're neglecting their own selves spiritually. They've not partaken of the bread from heaven, Jesus Christ, and they are not living in such a way to please the Lord Jesus Christ, neglecting themselves spiritually. Now, of course, a man's spiritual health is so much more important than his physical health. Now, I realize that when you get to a point where you're needing something physically, there might be that real desire and that real emphasis in your own heart concerning that which is physical. But doesn't the Bible say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? And He'll provide these things. And of course, the context, there's food and raiment. He'll provide those things for you. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then number three, our necessary food comes at the command of God. It is so clearly seen that necessary food came at the command of God in this situation. God sent manna from heaven. Of course, God sent the water from the depths. God sent the quail. We can go further. We can think about, for instance, Elijah. And the Lord told him to go to the brook. And there at the brook, the ravens would feed him there. He was to go there, and the ravens would feed him there. There was the will of God for Elijah. And he went there, and he was brought bread and flesh. And finally, the brook dried up. And God told him to go to a widow, Zarephath. And God would provide for him there, sustain him there. Well, he went there. And it may have seemed like there wasn't enough, but God provided for him there. Then we might go ahead to the situation, Jesus Christ multiplying the fish and the loaves, and God providing, miraculously providing by His Word, He provided for the people. Now, so often in our lives, we don't have those kinds of miracles. I came across a saying years ago, and I don't know just where I read it, but the saying was, do not expect extraordinary means when ordinary means are available. Now you might say, well, God sent a raven to feed Elijah by the brook. Well, my advice to you is don't sit down by a brook and expect God to send a raven with flesh and with bread. And my advice to you is not to go out in the wilderness with no food and just expect God to send bread down from heaven. And if you're doing the will of God and God says go there, then God will provide As you're obedient to Him, God will provide. But so often, ordinary means are available, and you should not expect extraordinary means. Now, sometimes God may do something extraordinary, even though ordinary means are available. But most of the time, for instance, for a person to live, he may go out and get a job, work a job, have some money coming in, and so on. But God, regardless, God provides for every one of us through His Word. I was thinking about this last week some, but give us this daily bread is not an obsolete prayer. It is still God that gives us bread. God still allots us the blessings that we have that help us to survive and even to thrive. It is by the grace of God. And so even though we don't have all the miraculous things that happen at other times and other situations, still, God is commanding His supply. God shall supply all your needs through Christ Jesus. And God does that. God has given His Word. He'll supply the things that we need to do the will of God. And so, let us consider that our necessary food still comes at the command of God. Then number four, man does not live by anything alone apart from God. Man does not live by bread alone apart from God. Man does not live by water alone apart from God. Man does not live by money alone. It's interesting the use of the word living in the Bible. And God knows how important money is for people to live. And remember the widow that gave all of her living. And of course, God knows what we need, and God can supply the money that we need, but we are not to esteem money above the Word of God. We are not to compromise. We are not to contradict the Word of God in order to get money because we feel like we must have money. There is nothing that we should esteem above the Word of God. When it comes to this realm, sometimes God causes people to go through some real severe tests. In the case of the children of Israel, He led them to a wilderness where they could not provide for themselves. You take all of those people out in a place, a desert place, a wilderness place at least, and they could not provide for themselves. And God rained bread from heaven. It was a test that God sent, and in fact, the test continued as God provided the manna and how would they respond to what God was providing and so on. There's nothing that we should esteem greater than the Word of God. Take, for instance, a reputation. Reputation is a very important thing. Is it not that we should esteem a good name, desire a good name above riches, great riches? We should, I think it's Proverbs 22, verse number 1. Yet on the other hand, sometimes our reputation may be attacked. Look at Job. Look at how his reputation was attacked, and still, he esteemed the Word of God above his necessary food. Think about Joseph, for instance. Joseph, his reputation was assailed by Potiphar's wife. And yet in both cases, these men, they lived righteously, though their reputations were attacked. Sometimes God may put us in some tremendous tests. And bread is mentioned in particular. But God may also cause us to be attacked in other ways or to have losses in other ways, and we may feel as though that we must have this. But the fact is, we must follow the Word of God. We must esteem the Word of God above anything else we think we need in life. The silence that Job was going through. What a hard time it was for Job to be attacked and attacked and attacked, and yet God was silent for a time. The Word of God can become very precious during a time in which you're being attacked and God is silent. In fact, 1 Samuel 3, verse number 1, "And the Word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision." The Word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. In a time where this the time that came from, of course, was when there was not a completed Bible. But it seems as though there were not visions, there were not open visions coming forth. And therefore, I believe the people needed to trust in the written and preserved Word of God. Sometimes we may be in a point where it just seems as though that God is not communicating with us. There's a silence. At a time like that, trust in the written Word of God. Trust in what you have. Trust in the preserved Word of God. And then last of all, man needs every word of God. In Matthew 4, verse 4, Luke 4, verse number 4, and Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 3. In every case, those words, every word is used. Matthew 4, 4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Every word. I believe there's a reason why that is repeated. Every word. Now, you need the Word of God. You should esteem the Word of God more even than your necessary food. And you need every Word of God. Don't cheat yourself by just reading out of the Gospels or just reading, let's say, one proverb a day and a psalm a day or whatever your schedule is. Don't cheat yourself by not reading every word. I encourage you to read every word. It has been my practice for so many years to read through the Bible, just generally speaking. That is the way I do my Bible reading, from Genesis to Revelation, Genesis to Revelation. I'm not keeping a count. I don't know how many times I've read it. Just over and over again, Genesis to Revelation, every word. And you need every word. I think one of the great failures among independent Baptists is the fact that they have not taught the whole counsel. And in so many cases, they may overemphasize, and be honest with you, in some cases, they have overemphasized soul winning so that the Sunday morning services and even other services become soul winning times, especially instead of feeding the sheep. And the services and the churches being soul winning stations where that's the primary emphasis. And in a case like that, a person may go to a church like that for years, and they may learn a lot from the Gospels. They may learn a lot from here and there, and yet there be so much of the Bible they know so little about. You need every word. Every word. You need to esteem every word of the Word more than your necessary food. If you will, please stand.